Can I have a
discount
for shortness?
What was that?
A discount for
shortness? I gotta finish yelling first. Okay, let's go. We are. First of all, it's good to be back. It's been a long time. And we're gonna start today a very involved topic. I don't know if we're gonna get through with everything by the end of our allotted time slot. I'm gonna speak about it, but a very, very important topic, even fundamental. Legabe, the world of tefillah. Now, when you hear the topic of Chelek Dalet is the Zmanei tefillah, so that has a certain connotation to it. We hear about the Zmanei tefillah, we're reminded of mothers and fathers and Rebbeim and Madrichim and Avbayets coming into our dorm rooms or rooms at home reminding us there's a Zman tefillah to make, you have to wake up for Mincha, go to Ma'ariv, or maybe it's like too late for Ma'ariv, whatever the particular position you're in. So we're going to talk about the world of Zmanei Tefillah right now, not from a halachic perspective in terms of what exactly the Zman is. Is it 9:36 or 37? How we divide up the day and all of those different concepts. We're going to speak much more about the fascinating little artwork going on in the corner, which seems to be catching our attention. But perhaps we might also speak about the philosophy and concept of the Zmanim of Tefillah. Why is tefillah so important to be time-bound? In other words, let's ask ourselves a very, very basic question. If I'm supposed to be praying to the Lord our God, King of the universe, right? So really, that's something I should be able to do whenever it is that I want, maybe all the time. Again, obviously, we know on a certain level, we can always dive into a Kaddish Baruch whenever we want. There's nothing stopping us from just turning at a random time and talking to Hashem. But when it comes to the basic, bare minimum chiyuvim of tefillah, and why is it so important that they're going to be time bound? And what's the big deal, so to speak, about the concept of a zman? We're going to learn this morning that it's not this morning. Actually, we're going to learn this evening. Sorry, that did I go a little messed up? Whatever it is. Okay, we're going to learn this evening at least the yesodos, some of the foundations of what the zmanim of tefillah are all about. And again, however long it takes us to finish up, we're gonna finish. I want to start with a very interesting Bir Halacha, and it's a Bir Halacha at the very, very beginning of Shulchan Aruch. It's a very fascinating thing. Most people do not practice this in like Halacha Lamaisa, but something that's very important, perhaps should be done. I'm not saying it shouldn't, but should be done. And it's as follows. Let's just read the words inside in the Bir Halacha from the Chafetz Chaim. Nachon Ma'od. Now, Simon Aleph, Sif Aleph means, just in case we know a little bit about how the Shulchan Aruch is written, where is this placed in terms of like the
beginning?
The beginning. Okay? This is like the Bereshis Bar Elokim. This is the very first, it's not the first Bir Halacha, it's the second Bir Halacha, but it's at the beginning. What was that? Sheish Mitzvot Smiros. There you go. Now, the. How bad? Now we're on. So says the Bir Halacha the following thing. But again, I'm going to ask that we really try to focus. See, when I saw someone was being nice, and he said, like, listen or pay attention to the Rambam, he said a joke, not that you weren't paying attention to him. Now I'm going to say, like, pay attention, because we're not all on focus. Now, Nachon ma'od li zohir lo markodum kol kubim bim. Try that again. Take two. That has that for Furnish Bill. Nachon ma'od li zahir lo merkodim kol gimel tefilos hodasa hiratan amuvrub yushalmi perek tefilos hashachar. It is nachon ma'od. English?
Very proper.
Very proper. Very appropriate to say before each one of the three tefilos, the thanks and the hiratzon that's explained and laid out, delineated in Yerushalmi in the fourth perek in Brachos. Meaning, before a person davens shachris, mincha, or ma'ariv, it's nachon ma'od. It's a very good idea, very appropriate to say the following short little tefillah. What are they? Number one, b'shachris, you say the following thing. This is like when you're turning the corner or something, or about to walk into the door, into the chatzar. Moda ani lefanecha Hashem elokai b'lekei vosei, shotzei soni me'afeila li'ora. I thank you, Hashem, my God, and the God of my fathers, Shotseisani me'afeila li'ora. You took me out from the darkness into the light. Okay, now we understand shachris, like you wake up in the morning and it's light. When you went to sleep, it should not have been light. Okay, and now you wake up and it's light outside. Oh, Shotseisani me'afeila li'ora. V'mincha, When it comes time to daven mincha, the person says moda ani, etc. Shekeshemish is ikisani liros keshachama b'mizrach. Just like you gave me the merit to see and witness the sun being in the east when it rose, kach zochisi lirosa b'mayra. So too, I had the merit to see the sun in the west on its way down. Ba'arvis you say yihiratzan, etc. Keshem shehoyisi be'afei lebotzisani li'ora. Just like yesterday, I was in the dark. And hotzisani la'ora. And he took me out of the dark and brought me into the light. U'me'afei la'ora, etc. Kein totzioni me'afei la'ora. So too, today, once again, you should be motzi. You should take me out from this current darkness into the light of a better tomorrow. How about that? That's beautiful. Now, the three Yihiratzans that we have. Now, first of all, show of hands, how many of us actually say these exactly like we thought? Good. Now, they do exist, and then they are supposed to be, they should be said. It's Nachon Lizar Ma'od. I would even posit and describe this after we're done with our discussions over here now, that very, very least a person should be thinking through these ideas. But we have to explain. One thing we see very, very clearly here, okay, and this is the reason why I wanted to start with this Bir Halacha, is that the Yerushalmi is telling us here that the concept of tefillah is totally inextricably connected and linked to time. Okay, we're davening as certain things are going on throughout our day, dark to light, right? The sun rising. Now I see I'm witnessing, the sun's going down. There's a mincha that's happening. It's nighttime and it's a period of a feila, darkness. Hey, can I make it out of this? Up until tomorrow, a tefila that's here, etc. In other words, the tefilos, in a very, very real way, as we're going to be learning through, are responses that a Jew has to the different times that are taking place throughout the course of the day. A person is meant to live, I'm going to say the same exact thing in a couple of different ways right now. A person is meant to live with a sensitivity and a connection to time. There's something that's going on in the world around me right now. This, that, or that, depending on what time of day it is that's there. Something's happening right now. My reaction to that, my feeling, my connection to this occurrence, right? My mindset, my feel is supposed to be, I respond to this through a tefillah. We're not going to say the same thing in a different way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us in different ways. The Ribbono Shel Olam talks to us. He sends us messages. He communicates. He reveals himself to us in different kinds of ways. And tefillah, as we know, when we're standing and talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam, a conversation does go in two different ways, two different directions, most of the time, at least. We try to. Sometimes when I speak to some people, it doesn't seem to always be a two-way conversation, but it's supposed to, in theory, be a two-way conversation. And as much as sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that when we're davening, it's a one-way conversation. Kadosh Baruch Hu might be listening, we're all mamin, and we all know that, and etc. We always have the feel, right, that we're talking to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Yerushalmi has just taught us something very, very important, to reframe it out a little bit differently. It's actually a mistake. The tefillah is our response to a call, to a message, to a something that a Kadosh Baruch Hu just gave over to us. I just told you something. Something just happened. I just said something over here. Now let me hear what you're going to do or say in response. What do we say in response? We say a shacharis. We say a mincha. We say a mayru. What in the world am I talking about? Okay. Now it should be that if we're somewhat thinking Jews, we should be a little bit confused at the moment, because what I said that doesn't necessarily fit into our normal understandings of tefillah. But let's talk a lot more actually. We live in a somewhat, and this is not a general statement, okay, it's true generally, but I'm not saying it as a general statement. We live in a messed up world. Okay, can you do me a favor? Are you leaving the room? You're not leaving the room. You're actually about to do me a favor. When you walk out, yeah, can you shut the lights off? You know how to do that? And when you come back in, you're going to turn them back on. And that's going to be very, very quickly.
35
seconds? We can handle that. Okay. Okay, make a good Asher Yatzar. Now, there's Shadda Leifert. Okay, now, we live in a world where when it gets dark outside, we don't always feel this. Correct? We've been destroyed by, I'm going to explain why he's saying destroyed a little bit. We've been destroyed by electricity and by other things that take away from us and take away from us the opportunity and the chance to be able to actually feel and experience the cycle of time, the cycle of nature, right? The way that the Bria, as the Kadosh Baruch Hu created it, actually is meant to be. Okay? Lamashal. I think I mentioned this before. It happened to have been like a very pivotal couple of weeks. So I think it was three summers ago. I had spent time in Josh's home state of Pennsylvania, which is a very big, massive place. So I learned the lesson that not every part of Pennsylvania is created equally, in a very, very big, massive, humongous state. And now, so somewhere, I don't even know where it is, but somewhere in the middle of Pennsylvania have like the homeland of like the Amish people, okay? And that's not where he lives. He was in a city. I've been there just there also 2 weeks ago. They got like everything there, okay? Murray Street, Kosher, Murray Avenue, Kosher store. I bought lunch there, okay? I can attest, it's pretty good. Schnitzel and a little coleslaw. Not bad. What was that? I didn't even get sick, yeah. But, I got to admit, I don't understand why in the Pittsburgh Opera they don't have like a nice like lounge or whatever. It's like they're sitting, I always get in like those whatever. What was that? I wasn't happy with that, but whatever it was. Okay, now, but that was the way it was, okay? But let's get back to the point. So I spent a period of time living with my family, not just me and myself. We lived on an Amish farm for a while, and really.
How long is a while?
Not like 6 months. Yeah, like a week, whatever. It's like a while.
For shit.
What was that?
For shit.
Experience it.
Yeah. It's interesting. When do you get like? What was that? Like, yeah, no, we hung out. Yeah, John Fisher and family. Yeah, little. We got whatever. We're buddies. Now, the what was that?
Rebbe charges all butter.
Yeah. Made milk, like everything. The whole.
They keep Shabbos for like a whole week.
What was that?
Actually, basically,
no, they're not. There's all. I don't want to. There's all different interesting lumbus they have, like the whatever it is. No, there's a very young. We're going to talk about this at a different time because there are other shmuzin that we'll be discussing some of the Amish practices that are very important to hear. But for now, we're going to discuss the following thing. Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of very, very interesting guy. I mean, obviously, just to the, what do they call it, as a chilek, anaratzim v'heim ratzim, but they have, you know, a lot of interesting things, whatever. Now, so when you live on a farm where there's not really any, like, major electricity going on and all the stuff that we, like, you know, that we're used to, the way things work, the morning actually starts very, very early in the morning, right? Like when the sun is coming up, you're out there, you do, and cows are one of the early things, like in the morning, making like boiling hot milk, like burn your cereal when you put it in the, and then it was like very, like, it was like painful to drink the milk early in the morning. This was real coffee, so it was great, you know, great stuff. And but what was most interesting was watching the rush at nighttime, when it comes to the Shkia, and then into the Bein HaShemashah's time, when it's a little bit like duskish, and like you're doing like your last minute like stuff, like in your little like garden stuff, and for a lot of the like kids, they don't like wear shoes either. I was like watching, I don't see these pictures of barefoot kids like going like this really, really quickly, like in the dirt to get whatever. And when it becomes dark, it's just over, and there's like nothing to do, because the truth is, there's nothing to do in the dark in the middle of Pennsylvania. And there isn't, with all due respect, at least not in that part. And so at least me and my family, we snuck out a little bit, like after like everyone was like all quiet in our car and just like went out into whatever it was, and we did other stuff, but like whatever. But you have to get out a little bit. Also, other interesting stories. Now, the what am I saying over here? In our world, sometimes we think that with all of the different technologies that we have, and again, I know like right now electricity is not the most like advanced technology, but when we speak about from the whatever age of the advancement, the different technologies, we've taken ourselves very much out of sync with what actually is going on in the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. The idea that It's dark outside, and life stops, right? It's something that we sort of lost. The truth is, a person can live, in theory, all day long in a building, right? And not really have any clue whatsoever what's going on in the world around them. And Eitz HaChama is not a beautiful, meaningful, poetic, romantic, renaissance-like experience. It's just not, because I don't see it. Not because I'm in bed, even. Just because I'm inside and the windows are closed, the shades are there, and I don't feel, see, whatever it is. I don't really know what's going on by day, because I'm just sitting around enclosed in my little building. Certainly nighttime, we can ignore, we can grandfather the whole nighttime experience because you just flip the lights on and it doesn't exist. And our own natural sensitivities to the Bria that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, for all intents and purposes, is gone. And they really, really are. It's something that people are severely, severely, severely lacking in today's day and age. And it's been like that for a certain period of time. But there's a problem. I once heard interesting from Moshe Shapiro Shlita. He had told me that, he said, it's a fascinating thing. There used to be a time that we had massive, massive, massive Gedolei Yisrael. The Rishonim, the great Achronim, etc. Massive, tell me that we can't fathom the level of learning that these kinds of people had. And Moshe pointed out something very, very interesting. Again, you can talk about this at a different time, but a very, very interesting point. He said that we know the Rambam tells us Nilchus Tamei Torah, that the Keser Shel Torah is acquired by a person primarily from his learning at nighttime. And the Mesiras Nefesh that's required to learn at night when conditions are a little difficult is such that if a person is most in Nefesh to learn at nighttime, that's when a person is going to be Kona Rov Chachmasa. That's what the Rambam says. So Moshe pointed out from the era on where nighttime also ceased to exist, because there's no chilek between a morning, afternoon, and night seder. The exact same light, the exact same thing going on in the base matter. So the truth is, even our levels of Limud HaTorah cease to exist. It's not even shaykh to have the maila of being moser nefesh for learning at nighttime, to be kona that level of the Keser Torah, because we don't even have that. We're so out of sync with reality. Now, I know I'm talking to a group of people that are all, myself included, all victims of that world that we live in. But I'm trying to perhaps put, I'm not pushing like moving out to the woods right now and like dropping our shoes and just like, you know, hanging out with the trees and like that. But we all need in our own lives to start to understand a little bit more what HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually expects from us and how like our lives are meant to be led, at very least within context of the kinds of lifestyles that we actually have, to be able to develop more of a sensitivity to a certain reality in the world of the mitzvahs and hashkafa around us. Now, let's begin to talk. We mentioned this Yerushalmi. Now, the Yerushalmi tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to respond to certain things. A person wakes up in the morning. Okay, again, there's a lot to talk about here. Right now we're just doing the ABCs. A person wakes up in the morning and he went, Me'afeila li'ora. Me'afeila li'ora. A person is meant to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moda ani lefanecha hotseisani me'afeila li'ora. Right? Meaning, the person had an experience. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just did something for me, and I just lived through something, I just was the beneficiary of something. Boom, my response, e'etfila. The sun is setting, I saw it in the Mizrach, now it's going into the Ma'arav. What's my response to that natural phenomena? E'etfila. A person is living in a matzav of darkness, he's in the middle of the afila right now. The person has a hope, right, a dream, a yearning. Oh, the same way yesterday went, may I fail of the aura, Cain, so too, Totsi'eni, may I fail of the aura from the afela that I'm in right now. Okay. We're going to learn a bit right now what exactly, though, this concept of time and how it relates to tefillah actually comes into play. So that's what we're going to be starting with over here this morning. We get into a much longer, this, we're really going to get nowhere today, but whatever, we got to start. Says the Gemara and Brachas of Kavavim Abyss. In the beginning of the fourth parak of Masechta Brach is a rather famous Gemara, but there's a lot to talk about, so let us start to talk. Itmar, it was said in the Talmudic Academies, Rav Yosef Rav Chanina Omer, Tfilos Avos Tiknum, Rav Yeshua Ben Levi Omer, Tfilos Keneged Temidim Tiknum. Very, very famous Gemaras. Tani Kavasi Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, Tani Kavasi Rav Yeshua Ben Levi, and there's a braisa supporting each one of the two opinions. Tani Kavasi Rav Yosef Rav Chanina. Let's talk about Tfilos Avos Tiknum. Now, let's point out, in case we're not all understanding this on our own, we are right now in the middle of the parashios of Tfilos Avos Tiknum. This is something that's very, very relevant. We're living through the cycle of time Again, that's part of what we're going to be speaking about this series of Shiurim, is how to become in sync with time a little bit more. One of these cycles of time that exists is the cycle of Kriyas HaTorah, and a person is meant to live with that also. We're living right now the lives and the experiences and the teachings of the Avos HaKadoshim. We have to be sensitive every single day to things that we're learning in Chumash to make sure we're living up to the standards that the Avos HaKadoshim had laid out. So these are the tefillos. Next week we're going to be up to Ma'ariv, but right now we've gotten Shacharis and Mincha out of the way. But let's learn the Gemara. And in essence, we're going to be learning a lot about the Avos here. Tani Kvasti de Rabbi Yossi Reb Chanina. Avram Tikin Tefila Shacharis Shenem. Avram Avinu instituted Tefila Shacharis. Let's listen carefully to the Gemara's. As it says in the Pasuk, Vayashkem Avram Baboker Elamakam Asher Omad Shom. Avram Avinu wakes up in the morning, he goes to the place that he had stood. This is the story back from Parshas Vayera, the story of Avram going and witnessing the destruction of Sodom. Ve'ein amida ela tfila, when it says Asher Omad Hashem, he went to the place where he stood. Ein amida ela tfila, that word amida is a reference to tfila. He went to the place where he davened. Shenemar, like we know, it says Ve'yamu Pinchas Ve'yifalel. Pinchas stood up and prayed. He davened. Okay, Avram Avinu did Shacharis. Vayashkem Avram Baboker. Yitzchak Tikein Tfilas Mincha. I'm reading the Gemara even though it might sound obvious to us because there's the Yukim and a lot of Hezberim we're going to say. Yitzchak instituted Mincha Shenemar. It says, Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basada Lifnos Arev. This Arev rather from last week's parasha. Ve'ein Sicha Ela Tfila. When Yitzchak went to converse out there in that field, that was a reference to Tfila. Shenemar, like it says in Tehillim, Tfila Le'oni Kiyatov, a tefillah for the Ani who wraps himself up, lifnei Hashem yishbach sicho, and in front of Hashem he pours out his conversation. Asher Yitzchak Aminu went to the place, la suach basada, ain't sicha el tefillah. That was mincha. It says lifnos erev, as the night was about to come. Yaakov tikein tefillas arvis. Shenemar, it says vayifka b'makom vayalin sham. Literally translated, I in your art scrolls is going to tell you, I think, mistama, something along the lines of Yaakov arrived at the place that he wanted to rest. Be'ein pigiya ela tefila. The Gemara says that the word pigiya is a reference, though, to the concept of tefila. Again, Shenemar, it says, va'at al tispala ba'ad ha'om hazeva atisa ba'adom rino tefila. Don't daven to about or on behalf of this nation. Don't lift up a song and a prayer. The al tifgabi, and don't pray to me. Don't daven to me on their behalf. Ve'yifga b'makom. Now, we see over here that the Avos HaKadoshim instituted three tefillos. Shacharis, Mincha, Ma'ariv, right? The Gemara quotes a psukim that indicate when each one of the Avos had instituted each one of those tefillos. Alive, well, we're all doing good. What's interesting about one of the, let me rephrase that, one of the very many interesting things about that particular Gemara is that even though we say that the Avos instituted what was the expression in the Gemara? Blank Avos Tiknum? Tefillos. Which one of the Avos was mispalil?
Not necessarily.
None of them, right? What does it say by each one of the lashonos that's here in the Gemara? What did Rambam Avinu do?
Stood.
Hebrew?
Stood.
Amad, right? And Amida. Yitzchak Avinu did a Sicha. Yaakov Avinu Pigiya, right? Now the Gemara says that tefillos were avos tiknum. They instituted tefillos, and how do we know they each did this thing? Amida, sicha, pigia. It's very, very clear that if a person wants to have a what we'll call a true tefillah experience, okay, that tefillah experience is going to be comprised of three different elements, three different parts. Amida, sicha, pigia. We're going to talk about that also as we're going along. But most importantly for right now, I want to talk about a little bit about the once again the timing and what was going on over here in this Gemara with these three things that the Avos HaKadoshim had done. So let's make a couple of statements that we'll try to back up and explain as we continue. How many times a day do we daven? Okay, so now we're going to say incorrect. And the incorrect is because of the following simple thought. And that is as follows. There's one time, listen carefully how I'm going to explain this. One time, you're not wrong for saying three. Let me just make it clear. You're not wrong for saying we daven three times a day. That does not mean a person saying, oh, good, I'm good to go. I only daven twice. I skipped that. You don't mean that either. You're supposed to be davening three times a day. And that is definitely the colloquial expression. That is what your guy in the street is going to say. That's fair to say. You'll find that expression in Chazal, etc. But when you understand the omek, the depth, a little bit more of the tefillos, we're going to see it's not entirely true. A person davens one time every single day, shachris, one time every single day, there is a mincha, and one time every single day, there's a meir. If he doesn't daven three times a day, but he does three very different things throughout the course of the day. And those three different things that he does every single day, right, in total comprise what we're going to call right now the world, kentetu, the world of tefillah. Each one of them is, in Ganson, a different thing. Or to say one sentence in one language, that's giving between the Hebrew and the Yiddish, each tefillah is in Ganson and under a zech. Now, or we can say it in English, each one of the tefillah is an entirely different thing. Because I'm not doing anything three times a day. I'm doing one time a day an amida, a shachris. One time a day I'm doing a sicha. One time a day I'm doing a pigia. And anyone who thinks when he says those words that he's saying the same things, they mean the same things, and they have the same anything, is not even 1 foot in the door of what davening is all about.
Okay, so every time you say Shemona Esrei,
why don't we learn something now? Let's begin. Let's begin. We're still at the beginning stages. We have a lot to do. We have a lot to do, and it's not going to be done in 10 minutes. But let's talk. I mean, I didn't mean to say we're going to go on for another hour. I mean, we're going to go for 10 minutes, but we're not going to be done by the time we're done. Now, let's begin. There's another misconception that's there. We know the three Avos instituted the three different tefillos. So Avraham institutes Shachris, Yitzchak Avinu institutes Yaakov Avinu, Ma'ariv. Now, simple, unsophisticated way of looking at things would have been the following. Okay, and I'm saying this just to make sure that you don't say this. I don't want to accuse you of being simple and unsophisticated. And I'm hoping that you'll, by the time I'm done being simple and unsophisticated, you'll figure out how to be slightly more sophisticated. But let's work with the following. I'll make the mistake and you can correct this afterwards. Simple way of looking at something would have been to have said, well, Avraham Avinu institutes Tefillah Shachris because, after all, in the list of the three of us, Avraham comes first, and the first thing we do every single day is Shachris. So he wakes up and he davens. Now Yitzchak Avinu wants to leave. It's not entirely true. It's actually not true what we're just saying, but we'll get to that also a little bit later. The Yitzchak Avinu wants to leave his mark on the world. Wants to develop a legacy. So Yitzchak Avinu says, oh, I'm going to institute a tefillah. So he wakes up in the morning and says, oh, I'm going to daven shachris. And he says, ah, darn, my father instituted that one. So that there's nothing left to do, right? Why write the, I don't know, whatever it is, the Mishnah Berurah again, someone else already did that, right? So, okay, so I'll do something else. What does Yitzchak Avinu do? Well, morning. And he's, again, a great thinker. So Yitzchak Avinu says, afternoon, I'll institute mincha. Yaakov Avinu comes along and says, I also want to leave my mark on world theological history, and he wakes up in the morning and says, hey, whatever it is, and mincha, hey, he already did that, and, right, the only thing that's left over is Ma'ariv. I have to wait till the night time to institute a davening. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Shachris, mincha, Ma'ariv, they ever so conveniently line up with each other, okay? Now, we just accuse that of being unsophisticated and shallow, so obviously that's not the way things are meant to be. Now, let's use a slightly different sense and arrange things in a philosophically sound kind of a manner. And that's going to be the following thing. Had Avraham Avinu been the second, Avraham Avinu, okay? I'm emphasizing what I'm saying. Had Avraham Avinu been the second of the Avos, okay? Avraham Avinu would have instituted Shachris, and he wouldn't have worried about anything other than that. Had Yitzchak Avinu been the first of the Avos, he would have instituted Mincha. Yes, and Yaakov Avinu bin, whichever one of the Avos, he would have instituted Ma'ariv, no matter where, no matter what. These were not random things that, oh, my time left over is this one, and now I'm going to write, whatever it is, I'm going to write Ma'ariv because there's just nothing left to do, so I'm going to do Ma'ariv, and that's what was given over to me to do. But each one of the Avos HaKadoshim had davened and instituted a tefillah, as we're going to say, as an expression of, or in response to, a particular mahalach in Avodas Hashem, an understanding of Avodas Hashem, that particular Av had bequeathed over to Klal Yisrael for all Doros, and each one of the Tfilos most uniquely and appropriately and specifically is a result of what that person was mechadish for us in Avodas Hashem, the Havana, the insight that that person gave to us in how we relate to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, which, ever so conveniently, but this is just partially because this is the way the world works, corresponds to a particular time during the day. If we work with the assumption, like the Yerushalmi taught us before, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu talks to us during the day, and I'm going to explain a little bit more now why what that means. I'm going to try to make it clear. But when we come at the starting point that the Ribbono Shel Olam talks to us, sends us messages, says things to us every single day, all the time, through the process and the cycle of time, and we understand a bit more about the Avodas Hashem and the Chidushim that each one of the Avos had created, we'll start to understand who that person was and what they gave over to Klal Yisrael when forming and building Am Yisrael had to do with the message that Hashem was sending to us throughout the different times of the day. So there's a lot that has to be explained over here, and we're going to do just that. And we begin. And we begin. So, now you all got the message, correct? See, I actually just thought of a lot of different things. How many of you heard or understand whatever it was I just told you? That's scary. You probably didn't. I'm embarrassed if you knew it. I was just thinking. Now, what was that?
Not really fully.
Okay. What was the point that we just illustrated? In order to convey a message, okay, there has to be some kind of, it's very, very simple, but we're going to start with some basic method of communication. Okay? Now, when I'm sitting around the table not saying anything to you, okay, I've taken away one form of communication. I wasn't verbally communicating. I wasn't saying anything. So all the fancy mathematical equations that I was just thinking, you were not privy now to know. I don't know what the answer is. I don't make, but whatever. So let's say, or whatever. Okay, so now you're not mathematical geniuses. But the truth be told, I was slightly communicating with you in a different way. Right? Huh? Eye contact, like a little funny faces, putting you on edge, what's he doing, acting a little crazy, why are we doing this, like what's happening, what does he want from me, all that kind of stuff. You get nervous, like what's going on over here? Okay, imagine just for a second that there's, on the other side of that stone wall, okay, there's somebody sitting there also trying to communicate with you, but he's not saying anything, okay? And again, we live in a world, there's no texting, there's no WhatsApp, there's no emails, he's doing something over there. Now, obviously, that is incredibly ineffective. Correct?
Yeah.
We know that. Okay, now, that doesn't work. The most basic way of being able to communicate a message, right, is by a person's, what was that? Huh? Not even necessarily speaking, but probably what we're going to talk about speaking, but at the very least when I recognize that there someone is present, that person is there, that exists, right? Now I have the foundation, the beginning of an interaction. If the other body, the other person doesn't exist, right, there's nothing really to communicate with. People who communicate with things that don't exist go to the insane asylum, right? Because that's just the way the world works. We don't communicate with things that don't exist. The most basic thing I need to have a communication is something has to be there to communicate with. Now, when I try to communicate with a chimpanzee or with a dolphin or with a butterfly, right, so that, you know, it's not as bad as trying to be with nothing. But like, you know, okay, right, you want to see maybe the dolphin doesn't say anything back, you make a little noise. Sometimes you communicate, even though you can't really totally talk, but there's something to talk about, as weird as it might sound, when I'm talking to the thing, even though it can't really communicate back to me. Yeah.
So why don't we start a day with the word
Ani
instead of saying, like...
Whoa, you're like light years way too far down the line. That's ABC. We got to do ABCs. We're not as smart. I'm not as smart, so I don't want to accuse anyone else. But let's start from the basics. Let's start from the beginning. Now, we're still starting off. The most basic communication the base, basic, a communication that Kadosh Baruch Hu has with us, okay, is the mere fact that he has what I'm going to call right now, he can announce his presence to us. As a person, are we aware that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam in the world? The most basic way Kadosh Baruch Hu told us, Hineni, here I am, is through? It's through the world. Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu creates a world, Yesh Me'ayim. Before, and there was a nothing, now there's a something. A person says, how the heck did that get there? That wasn't there 2 minutes ago. And a person says, oh, you know what? Hey, there is a Yesh, as a Rambam, you know, it said, Yesh Manhig Labira, there's a creator, there's a leader over this world. The Kadosh Baruch Hu showed himself, was Megala himself over to us by creating a world. We know this also from Sukkim in Sefer Tilna, we say all the time. Hameshamayim Mesaprim Kvod Kel, right? The very Shemayim tells over. Misaprim Kvod Kel. You look at the Shemayim, right? And there's a message that's there. Kvod Kel. The Pasuk in Yeshayah Navi tells us. Sumarum Einechem. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, Uru'u, and see. Mi Bara Eile. Who created this all? A person looks up and the Ribbono Shel Olam is talking to us. Here I am. Look at what I've done. Look at what's going on. The more deep a person is, again, we're jumping, like I usually expect, light years ahead over here without explaining all the basics, but I want to say simple sentences and get us to a good stopping point. Over here, the more, a slightly more deep a person is, and he remembers the Pasuk in Tehillim that speaks about, Le'olam Hashem Devarcha Nitzav Bashamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words, Devarcha Nitzav Bashamayim, are resting there, are standing there in the Shamayim. We know the HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world through, what does the Gemara tell us? What does the Pasuk tell us? How does the Kadosh Baruch Hu create light? Let Hashem said, let there be light. Hashem said, let this. Vayomer Hashem, etc. Those Vayomers, okay, just to make sure we're understanding things on a first grade level, at least, over here. Those Vayomers, why is it a Vayomer? Why does the Kadosh Baruch Hu create the world with saying things? Because all the Pasuk is teaching us, again, this is elementary school, this is first grade, is telling us Hashem is speaking to you right now. When a person sees the Or, when a person sees the Kochavim, he sees the Shemesh, the Yireach, the this, the that, ba 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 ba, the Kadosh Baruch Hu just told me something. He said something to me. What did he tell me? Huh? First level, I exist. Right? There's a Ribbono Shel Olam in this world. There's a Ribbono Shel Olam. This world is governed and mastered by me. This is my place. The emes is, this is not for now. We're going to talk about this maybe on Matzah Shabbos a little bit. If I remember, we're going to have a siyum on Matzah Shabbos. Everyone's going to be invited to. I think maybe we might speak about this idea a little bit more. But but what a Kadosh Baruch Hu creates a world, all of those vayomers that are built in the world, and a person knows how to listen to the world properly, a person has the ability, and this is hard to do, and this is not an easy thing to do, this is very, very difficult to do, but a person has the ability to actually hear Kol HaTorah Kula and learn Kol HaTorah Kula from the very, very first edition of the Chumash that was printed and given over to mankind, which was the Briyas HaOlam. When you were smart enough, like Avraham Avinu was, to be able to look at the world and didn't have a wonderful Rebbe like yours truly to teach you Torah and mitzvos. So Avraham Avinu had a much harder job. He had to look around and see rivers and fish and green grass and yellow dandelions and blue skies and all the other things and figure out. Now you remember the pasuk at the end of the first Aliyah today? At the end of the first Aliyah this week? Ekev Hashashama Avraham Bekaliva Yishmar. There you go. Lime, the last mission Kiddushin tells us, right? That pasuk teaches me that. Kiyam of Ramavinu, Kol HaTorah Kula. Right? How did Ramavinu know Kol HaTorah Kula? How did Ramavinu figure out, you're learning Hilchos Tzitzis right now? How did Ramavinu know which kesher is the kesher Ayun Daraisa and what happens if my tzitzis break on Shabbos and what, blah, blah, blah. How did Ramavinu to know how to do all these different things? So he learned it from a dandelion or from a violet or from violet, is that a plant? Violet, flower? Yeah. Violet, whatever it is, okay? Or from a sea bass or whatever it was, whatever fish. We don't know exactly, I can't tell you exactly how Avraham Avinu knew all these things. But Avraham Avinu learned the most difficult printing of the Chumash, the greatest gilui that the Kadosh Baruch Hu ever gave. As time went on, okay, people lost a little bit, what I always call the theory of devolution, again, the exact opposite of Darwin. There used to be a time when men were men, and since the time of other Marishan, we started going down a little bit, What do we? How do we call people in Lashon HaKodesh? What's the word for men?
Anoshim.
Right? Why do we call Anoshim? The Gra writes because there was a person called Enosh. Right? Remember Parshas Bereishis. Right? Enosh was the first person from Adam Rishon down. As people started to devolve and become less like an Adam HaRishon and more like the animals that we are today, okay? As people started going down, right? The first person that looked and acted and behaved like us was Enosh. We became Anoshim, right? We're not even really B'nai Adam over here. According to my theory of devolution, right? We keep on going down and down and down and down and getting less and less and less intelligent and less and further and further away from what it actually means to be a human being. 26 generations after the world was created, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you guys are a bunch of outright idiots, okay? And I'm going to try you again. And I want to teach you Kol HaTorah Kula, okay? Not the right way, but the second level way. And that's going to be what happens 26 generations after the creation of the world? Matan Torah. You guys are dumb, I guess. That was really bad, okay? God hopefully didn't hear that. Matan Torah. Matan Torah. Okay, the Mabul is how many Doros after the world? Mission 5th Eric, if you're God, there you go, okay? Thank you. Okay, now. Yes, that was bad, okay? Now, the 26 generations after the creation of the world, okay, corresponding to the gematria of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, the Shem Havayah that He created the world with. He said, my very existence in the world is no longer enough to teach you Torah and mitzvahs and get you to be enough, intelligent enough, and like aware enough to like be able to survive in the crazy world that you live in. So I'm going to make this a little bit easier. I'm going to actually now put it in like stories and little mitzvahs and other things. I'm just going to tell you. Forget about figuring anything out, right? Can you imagine this? It's hard for me enough to... I have a Gemara and I can't figure out what to do. I own a Shulchan Aruch and I can't figure out what it says. And Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted me to learn. Hilchot Tzitzis from watching blades of grass blow in the wind. Right? No way. That's not happening, right? So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? I realize how... I'm sorry if I'm like lowering anyone's self-esteem, but how like dumb you actually are, and how out of things you actually are, okay? And let me just try to tell it to you straightforward. Here you go. Take a Torah. It's no secret. These are all... We're still explaining the Gemara and Brachos, but we have a lot to do. But it's obviously no secret and no mistake. This is all the Hadamah to had a Davin, right? We have a lot of things. We're being... Being a human being is not always an easy thing to do. That's why a lot of times people opt not to do it. But the it's not by coincidence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when He gave us the Torah, gave it the same exact way that He created the world. Right? We all know, and you've probably heard this comment maybe before, the Aseres Adibros of Matan Torah were in a direct correspondence to the Esam Amaros that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used to create the world. That everyone has its own correspondence. The umbrella categories, as the Rashi points out at the end of Mishpatim, the Avos of the Torah mitzvahs, all Tariq mitzvahs are included in the Aseres HaDibros. The Ramban wrote a whole sefer about that called Torah Seshem Tamim. It's a Rashi at the end of Parshas Mishpatim. Ayin Shem. Okay, but right, everything was included in those Aseres HaDibros. The same way everything, all the Torah mitzvahs is included in the Esam Amaros that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with. Now, I'm going to pause right after this question, which I'm probably not going to answer anyway, but I'll let you ask it. Okay, just giving you a warning.
If Moshe Rabbeinu was like the greatest person who ever lived, though, then why wasn't he able to like also look at grass? And...
Right, because there were people that were higher than him.
But it's like lower.
Way past Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was maybe the greatest of like our kind that existed. But the real, the big guns, the Abbas HaKadoshim, are way, way past that.
Ram
Avinu had a... What was that?
It says in the 13th Nikari of Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Navi to live as this world.
Right, so now how would you... I don't want to like ruin your life over here, but how would you understand, let's say, the Gemara in Baba? I think it's on Nafi. Gimel in Baba Basra, the Gemara says, a chacham is adif me navi.
What?
A chacham, a wise man, a sage, is adif, is better than a navi. So if Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest navi in the world, but Chazal say that's even possibly greater than that.
How can Moshe Rabbeinu have been a chacham?
He might have been a chacham also, but a chacham is adif me navi. What? Not at all. You don't have to do a chacham to your navi. I mean, you do, but not in the same way that we're referring to over here. Why is he greater than navi? Because he Because he is. Because he doesn't. I'm making fun right now. Because he doesn't read Rav Nachman, doesn't read Reuven. He actually just uses his brain and thinks and learns. Much better to do that.
You know.
Now, we're going to pause because we're running a little bit late. Okay, we are going to continue next week. I will remember Be'ez Hashem, Blina, that we're up to. Okay, we have a lot more to do, God willing. But hopefully, by the end of next week, we'll have like the Haskalah of our Tfilos over here to be continued with Hashem Himself.
So often they mentioned that really Avraham Avinu, he learned all of the Torah Kula from Chesed. Is that a contradiction?
No, but we're elaborating. We're going to know the different modes of reading.
What?
We don't have to talk about it.